Hello, and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat. I'm one of your hosts, Zach, and joining me, as always, is Aaron Capo.
Hello.
And kind of got a lot to talk about this week. I have been playing some games that we can talk about. I've put more time into Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, and I have played some Helldivers 2, which is...
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, one of the big games releases for this last week. But there was a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth State of Play that we got to talk about, and some bummer news for Xbox fans that we have to get into.
Yeah, where do you want to... Where do you want to start with this? Should we talk about the Microsoft thing first?
Yeah, I guess let's jump into that.
It seems like maybe they aren't going to be as into exclusives as we originally thought.
Yeah, it's crazy. So for years, their big problem was they didn't have exclusives that would allow them to compete with PlayStation and Nintendo. But now that they've purchased a whole bunch of studios to make exclusives for them, they're talking about not making them exclusive. And everybody who owns an Xbox or, you know, spent on a Series X for this console generation is feeling a little betrayed because they're like, I bought this based on the promise that you were going to have exclusives. And now it sounds like those exclusives are going to end up on PlayStation. And I could have just bought a PS5 and had all the Sony exclusives and the Xbox games.
I think the one that kicked it off, I believe, was the Indiana Jones game. That was the first one where they were like, we're thinking about bringing this to PS5.
I think initially what I saw was there were leaks that Hi-Fi Rush was coming to PS5 because there was like in-game items that showed this is the release for Steam, this is the release for Switch, this is the release for PS5, and there were like just different colored shirts with like logos on them specifically to those platforms. And then there was talk about Sea of Thieves as well. And a lot of people were like, okay, you know, Hi-Fi Rush, that's over a year old at this point. Sea of Thieves has been out for years. Like, whatever, that's fine. But then it started sounding like they were going to bring Starfield, which is like one of their big exclusives. And people were like, wait, hold on, what? and then, also there was talk about, you know, the new Indiana Jones game not being an exclusive. And then we're hearing like Jeff Grubb, I believe from Giant Bomb, was talking about how it's possible that like Gears of War will end up on PlayStation. And, you know, so they have all these, they just did this showcase in January about all these games that they have upcoming. And it sounds like a lot of them might eventually be on PlayStation as well. And everybody is like super bummed about it because if they do make these games not exclusive to Xbox, I feel like that will just be, you know, the death of the Xbox console.
Well, and there was also, maybe it was like GameStop or somebody had some tweet or advertisement where they referred to it as Microsoft Game Pass instead of Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
So they're kind of shifting away from being this like hardware exclusive type of thing to being. I mean, we talked a couple of years ago. I forget what the context was, but do you remember talking about how we thought that Game Pass might come to Switch at some point?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically, I think, what they're pushing towards is, well, I don't know, now, maybe they...
We should say they were planning on talking more about this next week. So as we're recording this, they have not put out any official statement. Like,
that's
the only
true
thing that Phil Spencer has said was... we're listening. We hear you. We're planning a business update event for next week.
exciting.
Which is, yeah, sounds exciting. Also, not a, you know, put these awful rumors to rest that are not true. He's not denying it, but
yeah.
From what I have heard from other people who are more in the know than we are about this situation, it sounds like there's a little bit of a civil war situation going on at Microsoft, where you have
interesting
the higher ups at Microsoft and the higher ups at Xbox kind of butting heads over this, where you know, maybe they're looking at, okay, you guys just spent a ton of money on Activision Blizzard and we had to go through this long litigation that was also very expensive, and now we're looking at the financials going, is this going to make the money back? Like, was this a good purchase? Also, that Bethesda release, like, I think Starfield sold pretty well, but you're limited to just the Xbox console and PC.
Yeah.
Like, we're looking at all of these purchases you've made, and we're thinking maybe the higher-ups at Microsoft need to get involved here, and, you know, they're looking at, because Microsoft is like a software and services company. They're not really a hardware company. And so to them, they just see this and go, well, look, we put like Windows on a ton of different like pieces of hardware that we didn't make. And we have all these services like Microsoft Office, like just on every platform available. And so we're thinking, well, we could really, if the console market is not doing well, which it's not supposedly, especially for Xbox this generation, we could really open up our sales by putting it on every platform out there.
Mm-hmm.
And like the higher ups at Xbox are pushing back on that, going, look, if you do this, it's like we might as well not make a console anymore.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a lot of fans do feel betrayed by this whole situation, especially the people that did decide to get an Xbox this generation instead of a PS5. But
well, it's interesting. You bring up that Microsoft thing. I saw some figure, and I don't know if this is real or not, but I saw it on Twitter. Somebody posted a breakdown of all of Microsoft's revenue streams. The first one is like server products, and that's like the first one by a mile. And then the second one is like services office type of stuff. And then the third one is like games, like Xbox type of stuff. But it's like way down there. Like server and like office services and stuff are making like an insane amount of money for them. And then it's like a huge drop to number three at Microsoft. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like they aren't investing in it because they don't understand it. And it's just like not as big a deal to them as their other things. And it would be crazy if they were just like, maybe we don't need to make hardware anymore. Maybe we're just the Game Pass company.
Yeah, I do think that they would love to be able to get Game Pass on both, you know, PlayStation and Nintendo. I don't think that is going to happen, because why would Sony accept, you know, a competing subscription service on their platform?
Yeah.
But you could see maybe that coming to Switch, although like how would that work unless it's like the streaming stuff? But
and yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, it's definitely like, I don't know, maybe you could see a future where they just like, they don't make as many consoles, but they still like put one out there on the market, because I don't know, I guess they have like tablets and maybe they make some computers themselves, but like for the most part, like that's not what they're known for. They're known for software. So I don't know. It does feel a little bit like we're seeing like just the next in line of like a company like Sega, where they stopped doing hardware and now they're just a games publisher.
I will say I love my Xbox. I love the way it looks. I like that it's like a cool little tower. But this has made me think, like, and this, like, this plus Final Fantasy VII imminently coming out has made me think, like, man, maybe I should check out a PS5. We were talking about it before we started recording. Like, I don't know, if that press conference happens next week and they're like, you know what, stuff is going to come to PS5. It's cool. Like, what's the point, really, of buying an Xbox if you can get the entire, all libraries on one system, you know?
Yeah, and it's crazy to me. Like, I went to IGN because they have like several podcasts about this where they've talked about this, and none of them seem to understand. It's crazy to me that, like, I don't know if maybe Twitter's a bad place to look, but like that's where you find like the most crazy, irrational, like people upset about this. But then I went to IGN, listened to some podcasts thinking, oh, they'll have some insider info here. Not only did they not have insider information, they didn't even understand what the problem was. I'm like, I don't know how it's not clear that this is like, I don't know. It's bad for multiple reasons. One, it's bad for anybody who bought an Xbox. But also, if the Xbox console does go away, like that's less competition in the console space, which is less like, now Sony can like set the prices. They don't have any competition Because Nintendo's just kind of doing their own thing.
I feel like they're getting $90 games.
Yeah, you'll get more expensive consoles, more expensive games. You'll get, like, there's not really a push for them to innovate anymore. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's not good all the way around, but I guess it's possible somebody else comes along. Maybe Apple decides, hey, we're going to get in the game space. But as we've seen with these big tech companies, I feel like a lot of them just don't understand video games or that space at all. Google failed, and I definitely could see if Apple did try that they would probably also fail. And Microsoft seems to be, like, you know, on the verge of failure. So
it's so weird because it's like such a big money business, and I don't understand why they don't want to invest more in it.
Yeah, I mean, there was that whole situation where Phil Spencer did was on a podcast, and he talked about how they lost that last generation, and like the Xbox One generation is still, like, I don't know, it's still hurting them to this day, it seems. But yeah, it is crazy that they would bow out of basically of the console space. And I think a lot of people thought, well, maybe they will go to more of a publisher/services type of model. If that means the console's going away, but we're going to have Game Pass, you can stream on your whatever TV you have. You just Bluetooth a controller to it and you're good to go. And they could see something like that happening for the future of Xbox. But at that point, is it Xbox? Is it just an app?
It's Microsoft.
Yeah, do they just get rid of the brand altogether and it becomes Microsoft Games, Game Pass, or something like that?
That would be crazy.
I guess you could see something like that happening, but the thing is, you would think if that was going to happen, it would happen towards the end of this console generation and as we move into the next one, not mid-generation.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but...
Well, I mean, not to skip ahead, we can talk about the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth state of play, but this is something in the same vein of this is as far as a company investing money in video games, Disney announced that they're doing a huge partnership with Epic and Fortnite. And it's sort of a compact for a metaverse type of thing where, I mean, immediately, I think this means more Disney products possibly in Fortnite. You could maybe play as Goofy in Fortnite. I don't know.
Oh, that's this did seem weird. You would think they would be... I always thought Disney would be a little bit more like Nintendo, where they're very guarded about their properties, such that they would not want to see Mickey and Goofy running around with assault rifles and getting shot by Master Chief or whoever is in Fortnite these days.
Man, that would be crazy to see. But yeah, Bob Iger was we see the benefit of being in the game space, and so we're investing billions of dollars into this partnership with Epic, helping out Disney, I guess. I don't know what this really means, but it's kind of a big deal because it's a lot of money and it's two massive companies that are deciding to collaborate.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this article, and there's just a picture that almost looks like Disney World with different themed lands or whatever.
Yeah.
And it talks about how they're collaborating on an all new games and entertainment universe, whatever that means. I guess you'll be able to go into Fortnite and watch Disney movies.
Fortnite basically is the metaverse. They try, Facebook is trying to make it, but it's failing. And Fortnite pretty much already is Ready Player One, basically, where you see just a bunch of properties walking around and interacting with each other. So I think this is just going to deepen that. I mean, there's already Star Wars in Epic, but I mean, this is going to make it even more. I really don't know what this means, actually. But
yeah, I was going to say, I'm too out of the loop to really know what this could mean for both Disney and Fortnite, but. But yeah, like you said, you're already seeing Marvel and Star Wars characters running around in Fortnite. So it's not this is some brand new thing where they are collaborating on stuff. But also, sort of to get back to the Xbox thing, does it feel a little bit like salt in the wound when like Helldivers 2 and Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth demo and like the state of play happened this last week. So on top of the fact that, you know, Xbox games could not be exclusive and that console might just die. And then on top of that, you had the state of play of this like really great looking new exclusive for PlayStation. And then they also released an exclusive like cooperative shooter that was doing like really well and has been like another one of the big sort of successes and talker stories of this last week with Helldivers 2. It actually
not a great look, yeah.
I think it was like one of their best, if not their best launch on Steam so far. And I think it did at one point at least surpass PAL World for concurrence, like peak concurrence this last week.
I believe
on
that.
Steam. So, I mean, I've played some of it. We can talk some about Helldivers 2, but maybe we'll get into that here in a minute because you do have some Overwatch and Cowboy Bebop news that I want to see.
Zach, before we talk about that, I want to talk about the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth state of play.
Oh, you want to just get into that? All right.
Well, because you were correct in that, like, we were talking about it before we started recording, and it is kind of insane how much they're showing. And I was watching the trailer, and I was a little bit like, man, I don't know if I need to be seeing all of this. I kind of want to experience this as I'm playing the game. And you said you haven't checked out the demo because you're just like ready to play it and you don't want to like get a preview basically.
Yeah, I don't often play demos, especially for games that I know I'm going to play anyway. But yeah, so I've avoided playing the demo and like I did see some of this state of play, but I kind of don't want to watch it.
Yeah. We won't talk about much about it, but there are two things that I want to point out. One of them, obviously, I have this in bold in our show notes, but Chadley has returned.
Is this an important point for you? I remember our conversation about Remake. It was funny because I was like, I don't know what the deal with this kid is. I'm not going to talk to him if I don't have to. And you were like, I Googled, what's the deal with Chadley?
Yeah.
But now he's a beloved character. Is that what I'm getting?
I don't know. He's just a weirdo. And I mean, obviously he was definitely going to come back because even though it seemed like they wrapped up his storyline in the first one, if you did like the full battle arena.
I definitely did not.
No, it turned. I mean, spoiler alert for the first one. But if you haven't played it, you're probably going to watch a recap anyway to get ready for the second one. He is an artificial intelligence, I guess. Designed by Shinra for some purpose. Who knows? But now it seems like he's out in the world exploring and just like coming into his own. And I think he's still going to be essential for getting new like summoning materia. But that's funny to me. And I thought I would bring that up. The other thing that I picked out of this, and we don't have to talk about too much of it because some of it was definitely like extremely late in the game. But there's a part in Final Fantasy VII where you're at the Golden Saucer, you arrive at the Golden Saucer, and you're having a good time. There's mini games and whatnot. And then you all go to a haunted house hotel, and you're going to sleep because the plot tells you you need to sleep for a while because you're waiting for something. During that time, everyone like is all tuckered out and they go to bed. Somebody knocks at your door, and depending on the choices you've made within the game, either Aerith, Tifa, or if you made crazy choices that are difficult to know by default, you sort of have to look up how to do it. Barrett will arrive at your door and you'll go on a Golden Saucer date with them. It's a whole segment. It's very funny if you can get Barrett to be the date with you because he doesn't really know what's going on. He's like, why are we on a date together? But they said in this state of play that not only is that date segment returning, but many more character. It's possible for, I think, every person in your party to be that person that knocks on your door and you have your date with. So it's very possible, and I think we'll see a lot of videos of this, of people having a date with Red 13.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Which I'm pretty excited about. I don't know if this works out timeline-wise, but if there's a way to have a date with Vincent, I'm sure people will love that as well.
Yeah, or Kate Sith.
Kate, man, that would be insane. But Yeah, this game seems like it's going to be great. It seems so packed full of content. It's going to be so dense and full of crazy minigames. And I also read that it is going to end where the first disc of Final Fantasy VII ended, which makes sense to me as a place to stop. But man, if that is the case, there's still a ton of stuff we haven't seen, and I'm very excited to see it.
It's on two discs.
It's on two discs, that's for sure.
They always bring that up.
It might make me buy a PS5, frankly, because it looks so good. And also, here's something else I picked out. They recorded over 400 songs for this. And one of my favorite parts of the first one was all of the great remixes and just like orchestral versions of the original music. Mm-hmm. And this is going to have an insane amount of music. I used to, when I was playing Smash, I haven't put it in my Switch in a while, but they had some of the new Final Fantasy VII Remake music for Cloud in that, and I would love to play on those levels, on the Midgar level, just so I could hear that music. But this is a very exciting game. I have to say it's right now my second most anticipated game. First, obviously, is Silksong. But, man, it is. I didn't think I would have to buy a PS5, but all of the stuff they've been showing has really made me think that I maybe do have to buy a PS5.
It's crazy that they have really, like, gone all in on, like, minigames as well. I think that was a thing that stood out to me when I was watching, at least what I did watch of the State of Play. Because I know, like, that's a big thing in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, is just like all these sort of games within the game that sort of keep you playing. Is this like the new thing that they do, instead of like, we're not going to do a game as service because nobody likes that, but we want you to still be playing and engaging with this game for like an absurd amount of time. So we're just going to throw in all these mini games and games within the game to keep you playing. And like, I'm not against it. I've been having
It was giving me Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth vibes, mostly because there's that Costa del Sol town and you do have a segue when you're in that town.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's going to be an insanely long experience if you want it to be. There's going to be so much stuff to interact, especially I feel like when you get to the Golden Saucer, that's going to be minigames central.
Yeah, I think I could see myself playing a ton of this and just like, I don't know, spending a billion hours playing this game. But that was the thing. Like for me, like right now, I'm so into Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth that it's hard for me to see any game topping it for like game of the year discussion.
Oh,
like that's how high I am on that game right now. But this game if it lands on like the story elements and the characters and all of the stuff there is to do in the game, it's hard to say that it won't top it. But
and we've even talked about this, but one of my favorite parts of the first game, a part that they nailed and I wasn't really sure if they were going to, is the combat. The combat is super fun, and it seems like they've deepened it in this with like the combo attacks with different people.
I wonder a little bit about that. So how did you feel about the combat in Remake?
I played it on easy, and I had a great time. I enjoyed the system where you would like build up your what was it, the stagger meter, and then you could lay into them. I was into it. I liked the combat. There was only like maybe there were two boss fights where I was kind of like, man, I'm playing on easy, this isn't like, why is this so hard? And I had to play it like two or three times. One of them was during the very final part. There's a part where I think like you, Barrett, and maybe Aerith and Red 13, although you're not controlling him, fall into a building in Shinra Tower or like a room, and there's a big robot you have to kill that like shoots lasers. And that was like super hard for me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was just like, I'm not into this. But that was really the only part where I thought the combat was like too hard for me.
I'm trying to remember, because I don't remember it all that well. I don't remember it standing being one of the elements of the game that stood out to me as like, oh, I really like this, or it's like super memorable for some reason. I loved that game, and I remember so many other things about it, but like the combat is not one of the things. And I think I was similar to you, where I started out on like whatever the default or normal difficulty was, and like got frustrated enough that I like knocked it down to easy and just played through the rest of the game that way. That a little bit hurts my like appeal for the combat. So I'm curious to see how they've like updated it and changed it and whether it will grab me this time. Cause like right now I'm playing Infinite Wealth and thinking, man, what if Final Fantasy VII just had this combat, like this turn-based combat? That's how much I am liking what they did with Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And it's like crazy to sort of have these two giant RPGs sort of back to back like this, where they're a long running series, but like the Yakuza series started as an action like RPG and has shifted gears and become a turn-based one. And Final Fantasy VII has done the opposite, or Final Fantasy has done the opposite, where it started as a turn-based thing and is now very much an action RPG. But I a little bit wonder if I would like it more if it were more like a dragon. But
that's interesting. We'll have to find out.
But yeah, they are doing more things this time around with the combat that they weren't doing last time. They kept showing off those like combo attacks and everything, and there's supposedly like these big animations that they've made for like every possible interaction that you can.
There's one where it's Barret and Aerith, and they like go back to back, and Aerith puts on sunglasses, and it looks awesome.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing tweets about that. That was funny.
But a great collab. Another great collab. I know that sometimes you still like to dip into Overwatch. It's been years since I did, but they're having a Cowboy Bebop collaboration.
Yeah, that's cool to me. I didn't see this, actually, so I'm going to have to watch this trailer.
The trailer doesn't really reveal much. It's just like, it's very much a teaser. You don't even get to see any like character models or anything like that.
Mm.
It's just at the very end, there's like a, it starts to play the theme from Cowboy Bebop on a jukebox. So we don't know exactly. I would assume that, what's McCree's new name?
Oh, yeah. It's something that we all know. A cowboy-sounding name.
Whatever his new name is, I would assume he's going to get a Spike skin or like costume.
Mm, yeah, I could see that. It's been a hot minute since I've played Overwatch.
Been a while. Overwatch 2, I should say.
Yeah, every now and then I will dip my toes back in, mainly when they have like some sort of seasonal event. I'll like jump back in. Like traditionally during the Halloween one, I'll dip my toes back in and play some of the cooperative stuff. But it's been a long time since I've been super into like the actual competitive stuff. And even with that, I wouldn't say I've been into the, because there's like competitive and there's like quick play. Even with that, I pretty much only play quick play. So I'm like in and out of Overwatch, and it's been a while. But yeah, that's cool to me. I'm curious to see like what kind of skins they release for that. But
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is exciting. I'm probably not going to check this out because I don't really play Overwatch anymore. But I keep thinking about, I'm still in like an Apex state of mind. And I keep thinking about if they would do some sort of collab with, because it's an EA property, if they would do a collab with Mass Effect whenever the next Mass Effect game came out.
Yeah, that would be like, very cool.
Because I feel like the Final Fantasy VII takeover was well received. People were into it. You got the cool sword, and there were some cool skins where people, like, I got the Wraith skin that looks like Vincent Valentine. And I would love for there to be like in seventh stuff and it's crazy to me that it hasn't happened yet, but I guess there hasn't really been a major well-received Mass Effect release since Apex happened. Did Andromeda happen after Apex?
That's a good question. I don't remember actually, but they did like, it wasn't Apex, but I sent you a tweet from Bungie where they had like this crossover with like,
That also, I think, got me thinking about it.
Yeah. Mass Effect stuff in Destiny, but like, we don't play Destiny anymore. So it was like, this is a little, you know, you're a few years too late on this one.
Exactly.
I would have been super into this while I was playing it years ago, but not anymore. But yeah, I would love that. That would be awesome if they could like get some N7 armor in that game. And then also like, I don't know, just other little things. Maybe they could have like, I don't know how you would do it, but you're picking up materia from the Final Fantasy VII crossover. What if you could like, I don't know, somehow use biotics in some way, shape or form? And
or you could also, I mean, you could have, if it was still like Reaper focused, you could have like the husks. Kind of like, remember how in the first Mass Effect that like they would be up on spikes and they would come down and run at you?
Yeah,
you could have husks all over the place or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they did do like this last year, didn't they have it was or like robots and you were trying to survive and like if you died you became a robot. What if you became a Reaper and they did like a similar mode to that? I don't know. There are different things they could do, but yeah, they have options.
They should. I feel like the Final Fantasy VII takeover should be a trend and they should be doing stuff like that all the time because I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, and if they do want to compete with Fortnite, like they need be working to expand and make their game a little bit more metaverse-like than it currently is. And like you say, if they're both published by EA, I don't know why they haven't already done
crossover
with other EA products. So
I would say probably this is a prediction I'll make is whenever Dreadwolf comes out, I bet we get some of that in Apex, hopefully.
That would be cool. They could do that as well. That would be a smart move. I hope they're already planning that, but we'll see. So it sounds like GTA 6 is not coming out until after April 2025.
All we got from the first GTA 6 trailer was coming 2025. And people were like, all right, that's fine. You know, let them make it for as long as they need to make it. Ubisoft's CEO has suggested that, in fact, we shouldn't be looking for a Q1 release for GTA 6. He thinks it will be coming.
Ubisoft. What?
Yeah, I don't know why he thinks he knows. But it's coming after April 2025 is what he says.
I guess maybe if he's in the industry, maybe he would have some insider info on that. But that seems weird to hear that coming from Ubisoft.
It's weird, yeah, because that's published by Take-Two Interactive. So I don't know exactly why this guy thinks that he's in the know, but that's at least the rumor that I saw on Rock, Paper, Shotgun was Ubisoft CEO supposedly is like, don't look forward to this in Q1 for whatever reason. And I don't know why he felt like he needed to say that.
Yeah, even if you did know that, like, that's not your announcement to make.
Yeah. So who knows? I just thought I would throw that out there if people are expecting something in like January or February.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't see it. I this definitely has the feel of like a big fall release to me. So it is not super shocking to me that it wouldn't come out first half of the year. But
I could see, I mean, it's in Florida, so it's like summertime vibes. They could release it in like July. I don't know. I mean, they could release this at any time and make a bunch of money. So it's really up to them.
I was going to say, yeah, this game is going to sell like hotcakes. It doesn't matter when they release it. But
something else selling like hotcakes. Zach, I want to hear about Helldivers 2. I never played the first one and I don't really know anything about it. You're killing bugs, right?
Yeah, I never played the first one either. That one is more of like a top-down sort of strategy style game. And this, they've like made the change to like a third-person cooperative shooter.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, right? Isn't it like Starship Troopers, kind of?
It's very Starship Troopers. It's the most Starship Troopers that you can get for a non-Starship Troopers game. But yeah, it's kind of cool. It reminds me a lot of Mass Effect 3's cooperative mode online, which is one of the reasons why I think I'm into it the way I have been. Because you can join up with randoms. That was broken for a long time. Like it launched and you could not do quick play. So you basically had to play either by yourself or like join up with some friends. That would work, but you couldn't like quick play just would fail every time. But it's got this like sort of you know, Galactic Conquest style thing where you pull up the map to look where you're going to go for the next mission, and it'll be like, you know, a certain percentage of liberation of this planet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was playing last night, the planet that everybody was sort of starting on, doing missions on, has been liberated. So we've like fixed that planet, I guess, and we're moving on to the next one. And so it is this sort of like, I don't know, this like ongoing experience where you're like, okay, everybody needs to go here and work on doing missions here, and that will liberate this planet from the bugs or whatever.
Interesting.
And there's also like on the other side of the universe, there's like these planets that you can go to, and instead of bugs, it's like AI robots that you're fighting. And those missions I have found to be more difficult than the bug ones, but yeah, it is really, you almost don't expect it to be as good as it is, but you don't have a lot of health. So you die really quickly if like you get swarmed by bugs and they like hit you a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go back in, like you can, be reinforced, and so you'll drop back in another drop pod, and you're unlocking these different weapons. You have like SMGs and assault rifles and like marksman rifles and shotguns and all this kind of thing, but the whole thing is you're using these like drop pods basically, so you can call in like a big heavy machine gun and pick that up and use that as like a special weapon basically. But you can also call in like different airstrikes on different areas and like resupply pods and stuff like that. And so you're unlocking a bunch of those as well. And you can accidentally kill your teammates, you know, because friendly fire is on. And so if you do a like an airstrike on an area where your teammates are, they will die. But you can just like call them back in again. But it's like it's sort of like what was that Rainbow Six game, I think, where it was like third person, but when you ADS, it went first person.
Oh yeah.
So you can do first person when you're aiming down your sights, but you can also keep it like normal third person. And it like does another sort of interesting thing where if you're moving while you're shooting, your like reticle kind of bounces around, so it's like less accurate. So if you have to kind of stop and stand still to shoot. You can shoot while you're on the run, but like it's less accurate that way. So it has like some cool little like realistic elements to it like that. But yeah, you're dropping into these missions and it'll be like you'll have an objective of some sort, which might be just like take out these two big bugs that are like guarded by a bunch of the smaller bugs, but they're in like two different areas of the map. But you can also like go around and complete other secondary objectives on the area, and doing that will get you like more of the in-game currency that you can use to unlock more stuff. And it's not a full price game. It's like, I want to say it's $40. And from what I've seen of the like microtransactions, which I guess there are, you know, that dirty word, but they seem somewhat reasonable and not at all like compelling to actually spend money on. So there's like not really any reason to do that because you can just play the game and unlock everything. So like I think people are actually really into this and it's doing pretty well. And I have had a lot of fun playing it actually. And I've watched a bunch of like the different channels that I watch on like Twitch and YouTube. People have been playing it and it seems like overwhelmingly the response is that is a fun video game. So I definitely, if you have a PS5 or you play games on Steam, definitely check this out because it's a lot of fun.
If you have a PS5, you say.
Yeah, I think you should get a PS5. It would be interesting. It actually would be really fun to play with you if you ended up getting a PS5. I would recommend picking this game up and we could play.
My finger's hovering over the purchase button, but I have not done it yet. But I've been playing a little bit of Apex, Zach.
And isn't the new... Am I wrong? Did that new season kick off?
No, I was wrong about that. I saw a tweet that was incorrect that was like super excited for the 8th, but I guess that was just the gameplay reveal. It is launching this Tuesday as we're recording this. Season 20, it's an anniversary season, so there's going to be a bunch of changes to the map, and there's also huge changes, which we talked about last week, to the armor system, and they're adding an upgrade system, where basically you... A big part of Apex is like armor swapping. So when you kill someone, you've just been in an interaction with them. So probably your armor is super low. So there's like a hot second where you can run up to their death box, look in their inventory and grab their armor. And then all of a sudden you've got a full armor again. That's not going to be exactly the same now. Now the only thing that really elevates your armor is doing either like doing damage to other players or like doing tasks that are like specific to your class. Like for instance, there's the class that can like look at those survey beacons and like see where everybody is or like see where the next circle is. That will also like increase stuff. You can also find shield batteries around, or I forget what they're called actually, shield cores. And those will also increase your shields. But now when you look in someone's inventory, you can see their old shield bat or their old shield core. And when you pick it up, you just get temporary shields, I guess. Where like once they're gone, they're gone. So it's not like fully increasing your capacity, basically. It's just giving you temporary shields and then your capacity is still growing. It's like kind of the shields that Conduit gives you, except they last longer. But seems great. I did Zach, I reached level 100 in the battle pass.
Is that the highest you can get?
No, frustratingly, it's not. At level 100, your icon sort of changes and it like starts to flash and it looks really cool. But actually, you have to get to level 110 in order to get... Have you seen those people with those badges that are like animated? And each season, there's a very final badge you can get for the season where... If you get to level 110, it doesn't have a number anymore. It just has the symbol of the season, and it's, like, nice and animated. A lot of people have that, like, kind of, like, a skull one that has, like, big, long horns that it looks like a devil almost. I don't know what season that was, but it seems like a lot of people played that season. I don't know if I'm going to get to 110 by Tuesday. So I don't know if I'm going to get that, unfortunately. But it felt like a pretty good milestone. I also, and I don't know how this hasn't happened before, but I got my first like weapon mastery point, which I was confused why I haven't gotten that before. But I've been using that 30-30 a whole lot because I found that I am bad at tracking things as far as like guns with constant spray. So I've been focusing more on like single shotguns like that and the triple take. And that has been more beneficial to me. But I'm still loving it. I'm still really enjoying Apex. I think I probably will get the Battle Pass for next season as well as season 20, because I'm definitely going to check it out. I mean, that's really the only thing I have been playing. I have been watching a lot of people play parts of the demo for that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and just like biding my time and looking at PS5s, but I have not purchased one yet. How's that infinite wealth? You said, I forget if we were started recording yet, but you said you beat the Animal Crossing part of it.
Yeah, so there's like a sub-story that is built around the Animal Crossing style game within the game on Dondoko Island. And you can keep playing it beyond that, obviously. You can even go back to like the main Hawaiian island and like find people that you can invite to your island and like find other crafting blueprints there for different things you can build and put around your island. So there's like still reason to go back there because you can also make a ton of money doing that. But so like if you really enjoy that, it's like a good, like, let me take a break from like the main story for a while and go back to my island and do some stuff there. And also like there's the sort of Tsujimon island there that you can like build up your Tsujimon as well. But I have completed the sub story for that and I ended up with like a ton of money. So I went back to the island and was like, you know, buying all kinds of weapons and stuff and upgrading my characters and different stuff like that. And so I have also completed the Tsujimon League sub story.
Whoa.
And so I'm a Tsujimon master or Tsujimon master. I don't know what they call it, but You also unlock a new class for Ichiban. That's the Tsujimancer that you can play as.
Whoa.
Where basically you call in all these different Tsujimon, and you equip them kind of the way you, like, if you go into your gear, and normally you will equip, like, weapons and armor to the different characters depending on what class they have. With the Tsujimancer, you equip actual Tsujimon. So as you build them up in the game and you level them up, they become stronger. And so it sort of is another one of those instances of this, like, other sort of mini game that sort of feeds into this other element of the game.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, I've been working on building up that class, and it's cool to, like, call in the Tsujimon and be able to key into different, like, elemental weaknesses of the different enemies you're facing. But so yeah, I've been experimenting a little bit with different classes in the game, and there's, like, a sort of a dungeon area that you can go to that has, like, I think 3 different levels of difficulty, and I just cleared the second one last night as I was playing, and you get, like, a bunch of stuff for doing that. And yeah, I'm only in, like, chapter 7 still of the story. So I'm, like, maybe halfway through the story, but there's just, like, so much stuff to do in this game that I've been having a great time playing it. And I just want to keep playing it is basically where I'm at with it.
Who's the best? I assume they still have the, like, friends app thing that is basically summons. Who's the best summon that you have?
Oh, yeah, the Poundmates.
Yeah, Poundmates.
I do like using the one that's for, like, the lobster, because that one's funny to me, but it also does, like, a ton of damage.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also one, so there's another mini game in the game where it's basically Crazy Taxi, but you're on a bike and you're delivering food to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a fun little mini game that you can play. And if you do that, you can also unlock him as a special, like, the guy that sort of introduces you to all of it. And he's, like, one of the pound mates. And he will drop in, and for 3 turns, he will deal, like, a little bit of damage to all the enemies in the area. But he'll also, like, heal you and your teammates. And so each turn, you'll get, like, 100 health back from that guy.
That sounds great.
So he's really useful, but there's a bunch of them. Also, like, for completing the sub-story at Dondoko Island, it's not a pound mate, but you do get, like, a special ability for Ichiban where you basically call in, like, a giant laser beam that your friends from the island will shoot, like, all the enemies in the area with this giant laser beam, and it does a ton of damage. So, like, I don't know. It's so fun how they've, like, built every single thing in the game to interact with something else in the game. And I don't know. I like the tone of the game. It's, like, wild and weird and funny, but they're somehow also able to pull off, like, more serious, like, character notes as well. But
I saw a clip that really made me want to play it. That was Ichiban was just, like, running on the beach. He runs by a tree, but accidentally runs into the tree. And then a guy dressed as a pineapple tree falls out of the tree, and you just have to start fighting him.
Yeah. So you can, like, go up and interact with certain trees, and he'll, like, you know, run his shoulder into it and knock down coconuts, and you pick him up. But sometimes when you do that, like, this creepy looking guy who's dressed as a tree will fall out, and you'll have to fight him. It's pretty, like, they have fun, quirky stuff like that, like, just all throughout the game. It's... I don't know. I love it. I think it's going to be difficult for another game to top, but Final Fantasy VII Rebirth might do it. We'll see.
I wonder which game will have more mini games.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. It sounded like they had a lot. I don't remember there being a lot of mini games in Remake.
Well, I mean, there was, like, it wasn't necessarily a mini game. It was just, like, a weird, like, remember the dancing scene? That was a whole, like, kind of rhythm game in there.
Yeah. I mean, that was more of a side quest, but...
Yeah, that was more of a side quest, I guess. Yeah, you couldn't redo it.
Yeah. I know they added one with the Yuffie DLC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I should watch a recap of that, because I don't think I'm ever going to play it.
Yeah, I played that, and I thought that was kind of like relatively fun. But other than that, I can't remember there being a lot of mini games to the last game. So it seems like they're, I don't know, just throwing a lot at this next game.
Yeah, I am excited.
But yeah, you're gonna have to pick up a PS5 so that we can.
Maybe I'll get a Slim. We'll see. I wonder if they're doing a packet. I'm sure they're doing a package with Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, they probably will.
So maybe I will check that out. Or not. Who knows?
But if you do, you should also get Helldivers 2, and we'll play maybe some of that.
So wait, do you subscribe to the PlayStation Plus? Would we have to both subscribe to that in order to play Helldivers together?
Yeah, I did have to sub to PSN, but I am like not currently sub to Game Pass because there's not really like everything I'm playing right now is on PlayStation.
Yeah, but I canceled my Game Pass a couple weeks ago.
So I'm like, well, I'll just trade that one for this one. And
yeah, go back and forth.
Yeah. Plus, it's like, I think they had a deal where it was like $80 for a full year of PSN.
Mm.
So
you can usually get a good Black Friday thing where they discount it.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, at that rate, it's like $6 a month or whatever, which
not
is
bad at all.
Not bad. So I was like, that's fine. I'll just do that because I probably will play more Helldivers 2. And like, because games like, you know, I guess you don't need to sub to PSN for Apex, but if I wanted to jump back into like Battlefield, for instance, that has crossplay, so I could always cross save. So I could always pick up where I left off on Xbox with that game on PlayStation. So,
yeah.
And same with like Overwatch and Apex. So I could always just like play on PlayStation instead of Xbox, but
it's true.
So you said you haven't really been watching or playing much else?
Not really. We got a new cat last week, and so I've mainly been hanging out with him and making sure we can't let him freely roam in the house right now because when we got him from the shelter, they told us he had worms. And so he's had one round of worms treatment, and he's going to have his next round on Wednesday. But until then, he can't really interact with our other cat because we don't want our current cat to get worms, or our original cat, I should say. So I kind of have to watch him and make sure he doesn't really interact with our other cat. So I've mainly just been like hanging out with him and playing some Apex when I can. But you haven't really been playing or watching anything else. I mean, we're doing, my girlfriend and I are doing a rewatch of 30 Rock, which has been great. It's on Peacock. But other than that, no, I haven't really been engaging with anything else.
I have watched more Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah.
That's a show I've talked about previously on the show that I really enjoy. Like, all the episodes are on their YouTube channel, basically. And they added the first two seasons of the New Zealand version of Taskmaster, which is also pretty fun. Actually, the second season of the New Zealand version is like really good and really fun. But they just started adding episodes of the Australian version of Taskmaster. And so like there's one episode up of that that I will probably check out at some point this week. But yeah, it's great that they are like, these episodes have been out for a while. Here, just have them for free on YouTube.
That's nice.
So yeah, like you can basically go into like the playlist on their YouTube channel and just like watch the entire season. I think they've got all the seasons, maybe they don't have the most recent one for the UK version of the show, but yeah, they've got like all the rest of them. And then yeah, they have two of the seasons from the New Zealand version as well. But it's just a fun little show that's like kind of a phony game show where they just like award points to people for doing like absurd tasks. And it's just kind of funny to see how they decide to try to solve the task. And then they talk about it. So it's a fun show that I definitely recommend.
There you go.
Got any parting wisdom for this week?
Oh, we were texting about this a little bit, I think, last week or this week. The guy who made Garth Marenghi's Dark Place put out a book recently, and he's doing a book tour. And he's doing a lot of Q&As as Garth Marenghi during the book tour. I don't know if there's a way you can watch those, if they're like collected somewhere where you can watch the whole thing. But I've been seeing clips on Twitter and they're all really funny. Like somebody asked them, did they ever find the woman? I think her name is Madeline Wool. And he was like, yeah, she was eventually found. Because in the series, is she like they're doing like the cast interviews and it's like, well, she went missing. So she's not part of these interviews. And I think he says like she was found, or at least parts of her were found under a car. Or he said something really funny about it. But my parting wisdom is that Garth Marenghi is great. And if there's a way to watch those Q&As, I don't know if it's wisdom to say, like, find a way to do that.
Or just, but, like, watch the clips on Twitter.
Yeah, try to... I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're collected on YouTube or something. But I think he gives a lot of really funny responses to people asking. And to be clear, he's not... I think his name is Matt Holness. He's not doing the Q&A as himself. He's doing it as Garth Marenghi.
Yeah, you sent me a clip where somebody asked him, like, what was going on with Dean Lerner. And his response was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think it's full of a lot of stuff. And it would be crazy to me if there's not a way to watch the whole Q&A, but maybe there isn't, because those clips I showed maybe are from like just cell phones. But
then, I would love for like, there to be more Garth Marenghi. It looked like they had cameras there.
Yeah, so maybe it will be released in some way. And if that's the case, I will definitely be checking that out.
Yeah, they definitely need to like... it does make me wonder if they'll bring the show back, if they'll do like another season of the show.
You know what's crazy? Him and... Richard Iowati don't look any older to me. Like, they could still play those characters.
It's true. When I saw that video, I was like, man, he does not look any different than he did when he was doing Garth Marenghi originally.
So they could definitely do it, and I hope they do. It would be so awesome if they did.
Yeah. They bring back Matt Berry as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it would be great.
It would be... I think that would be super successful if they did do it. Because it's become like a huge cult classic at this point. And there, I mean, obviously he's doing like books and doing this tour. So it's like back out there in the zeitgeist. And it's like,
yeah,
they could definitely do a reunion season.
That's my wisdom.
On that note, go ahead and follow us on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at Starside Cafe. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.